The bag is packed with the sticks, the drinks are cold, and the scorecards ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Shocking news this week on the tee. I'm not quite sure what we were going to be talking about on today's show, but the bombshell yesterday that, A, the announcement for the USA Ryder Cup captain was going to be made today. Bob Herrig from Sports Illustrated broke that news initially. And then later in the day, he breaks the news that it's going to be Keegan Bradley announced, and then he had his press conference today. So Keegan Bradley is the Ryder Cup 2025 captain for Team USA at Bethpage Black. And this came out of left field, man. Like, I had no idea this was happening. I don't think anybody had any idea that this was happening. Europe, by the way, running back Luke Donald. So they've already got a captain who's had a tremendous amount of success, and now they're trying to have him win back-to-back Ryder Cups at home, now on the road. What was your initial reaction, Stephen, when you heard it was Keegan Bradley who is going to be leading Team USA?
My initial reaction was, this feels like a made-for-Netflix decision. It really feels like they are leaning so hard into the storytelling aspect of this decision that I think they're trying too hard for this younger demographic in golf, and they're trying too hard to be different. And I honestly feel like they got caught in the, we put all of our eggs in the Tiger basket, and, oh, wait, Tiger doesn't want to do this? Let's figure something out and go completely the opposite direction.
Well, I think they even fast-tracked Tiger. And Tiger's got the President's Cup that he did back in 2019 down in Australia where he was a playing captain. He did that whole thing. But for the longest time, it seems like these Ryder Cup captaincies had been predetermined. Like, how long did we know that Steve Stricker was going to be the captain here in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits? Like, pretty far in advance,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
like,
that set itself up, right? Hometown guy, he deserved it. He had been a vice captain many times. He was a President's Cup captain.
So I would say President's Cup, because he was the captain in 2017 for the President's Cup at home when they did it up in New York. It's like, okay, he's doing that in 17 with an eye on 2020. Obviously, with the pandemic, it didn't happen until 21. But, okay, you saw that coming all the way back in 2017. And it seems like these had just been kind of set up where, okay, we knew it was going to be Furyk, then it was going to be Strick, and then it was going to be Zach Johnson. I think this is the one that was earmarked in New York for Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, and then Tiger Woods.
Yeah, and then Tiger was going to get his turn. So, like, not only did they put in there because then Phil goes off to live and, you know, goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but then, you know, Tiger looked like, okay, it's going to be Tiger. Everybody thinks it's going to be Tiger, and there were a couple of reports or whispers, if you pay attention on social media, that Tiger didn't want to do it, that maybe his new role on, because they've got 1,000 boards on the PGA Tour at this point, whatever board position he now has was taking up too much time, and he didn't want to have that commitment plus the commitment to be a Ryder Cup captain, which I understood, made me a little sad. It's like, oh, okay, he knows how much time this takes, and he wants to take it very seriously, and he's going to pass it over. So the problem is, once you get past that, I don't know who's left. Because they've been kind of stuck in the same cycle. And when you look at what the Europeans do, where you're going to be an assistant captain or a vice captain before you become the actual captain, just to kind of go through the process, see what it's like. Keegan hasn't gone through this since what, 2012?
That was his last. Yes, he played in the 2012.
Because he's a two-time Ryder Cupper. So he has not played in this event in 12 years. 13 by the time, and he hasn't been like a captain or assistant captain or hasn't been really around to understand everything that goes into this from a captaincy. It's a little shocking. And the other shocking part, let's listen to this. He had no idea it was coming either.
I don't think I'll ever be more surprised with anything in my entire life. I had no idea. And It took a while for it to sink in. I wasn't fully comfortable with some of the people that were passed over. I have a lot of respect for the people that came before me and people that deserve to be in this position. So that was a heavy thought and moment.
So
that's the most mind-boggling part of all of this, Gabe, is
how is this the process? How is this? And look, if you are somebody who's like, oh, it's the captain, who cares? Steven and I, honestly, the Ryder Cup is the reason this show exists.
Exactly.
We love the Ryder Cup. The amount of money that we spent on Ryder Cup gear combined when he was here in Wisconsin.
I have one sweatshirt that cost almost $300, Gabe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we love this event. And when you see the Europeans and the success that they've had in this event, and I started doing more of a deep dive after this happened, like, since Europe, because it used to be Great Britain and Ireland versus the United States, since Europe in 1979... like, became USA versus Europe. Europe's got a winning record. They're 12-9-1 against the U.S. They've had this tremendous success in this event. And you can see how they meticulously plan this out. You hear Luke Donald, not Zach Johnson, because that guy was a terrible captain. But you hear Luke Donald talking about on podcasts and different media appearances about how he thinks about this and how Europe kind of approaches this. And it's well thought out. This is not well thought out. This is like, oh man, we need a captain. You think Keegan would do it? And look, it could end up being a great story. It could end up working out. That doesn't mean that I'm not still nervous about whatever process they've got going behind the scenes at the PGA of America. And this, by the way, a decision made by a guy who's walking out the door at the end of the month in Seth Waugh.
So here's where I agree with you on that part is, this feels like a decision that should be made for an away event. Not the one in New York, not the one at Bethpage, where the U.S. has to win this one with how poorly things just went in Rome not so long ago. And for them to admit in this press conference today that they called Keegan 2.5 weeks ago.
God bless America.
That's where we're at for Team USA. That is how lost Team USA has become. And I get, they put all of their eggs in the Tiger basket.
Yep.
We all did.
Yeah.
You know, it was lining up to be perfect. To your point, probably should have been Phil long ago. He left for LIV. He made that happen for himself.
We talked about this last year after the Ryder Cup of, hey, Tiger had success as the President's Cup captain down in Australia. Because again, it's been so long since the U.S. has won on the road. What if you give Tiger back-to-back captaincies? The kind of the way that Europe is with Luke Donald. Hey, let's really shock the system. And honestly, that's a huge ask and a commitment from someone. And obviously, Tiger didn't want that. Maybe Tiger will want to take it on in 3 years when they're playing, you know, overseas in that Ryder Cup. But it kind of just feels like they looked around and went, like you said, you know what? This would be a great redemption story for Keegan. Because despite him thinking that he has an opportunity to make the team on points, like he's never playing in another Ryder Cup.
That's why I feel like this is a made-for-television special. Because if you watch Full Swing, you watched it play out in quote-unquote real time. We'll go with that. You know, every storyteller is different for how real and real time that actually was. Him receiving the call from Zach Johnson, the emotion on Zach Johnson's face, delivered the news that Keegan was the outside looking in guy. For probably the third time, Keegan mentioned in his career, he has been one spot shy of the Ryder Cup. He loves it. I'm not denying that. He has an intense passion for this event. And I do think that that is why he is the next captain of Team USA. But after that played out, we watched the emotion on Keegan's face, the emotion on Zach's face, the shot of the Medina bag that Keegan still has not opened up yet because he's so disappointed in how that Ryder Cup ended. Fast forward to now 2.5 weeks ago, Gabe.
Hold on. He said, I hope I get to open it someday today. Like, all that stuff's in there ruined, right? Like, there's no way it's still in good shape.
I don't want to know what kind of mold is living
that's
inside
that.
That's what I'm
saying. I, like, he opens it.
But if we're gonna lean
suit.
Into this Netflix, let's open that bag and let's see what it looks like on TV.
Well, but that was the point, right? Like, the only way he's opened that bag ever is if he ended up being a captain in one.
Who called him to inform him that he was the next Ryder Cup captain? It was Zach Johnson, Gabe.
I really want to rip this.
And this is why I struggle with this decision more than anything. It's not Keegan the character. It's not them going young, going outside the norm. Because I kind of get that, right? Like, they needed to shake things up after how bad things went in Rome. This one feels like a decision that sounds great on Instagram and sounds great on Netflix, and not one that necessarily is the right decision for this group of players for Team USA, because this is the next layer of this decision, Gabe. Keegan wants to play, and I want to listen to that soundbite.
Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to that, because he did say he wants to make this team on points.
I will either make the team on points. I don't see myself picking. I'm not going to pick myself. The only way that would happen is if the team was insisting on it, but even if they did, I don't see that happening. I want to make the team on points, otherwise I want to be the captain.
It is a good distinction on his part to say, hey, if I don't qualify this, even like he almost kind of gave himself an out, like, well, if the team really demands it, then he realized, you know what, no, I'm making this on points, or I'm just going to be
the
captain.
If he would have left it, if the team demands it, that would have been a bad way to start off your captaincy, of just leaving that door open for any of the guys currently on the bubble to know, all right, this guy is going to pick himself because he's still butthurt that he wasn't on the last couple of rosters. But good on Keegan to make that distinction that he's only going to get in on points. He's very, very, very far behind in the points list right now. Well, hasn't had a great start to this season.
I mean, this year,
a lot of golf left, of course.
The only thing that counts in the Ryder Cup point standings, and again, they could change this and change the qualification process, because he also hinted at that, potentially more automatic qualifiers, less captain's picks. But this year, the only thing that counts are the majors and the players. So there's only four tournaments so far that have counted towards Ryder Cup standings. For
he's going to go win the Open, isn't he? Is that just like what's going to happen now?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. Netflix is going to rig this thing.
Oh, that would be outrageous if they did. It's just so shocking to the system that this is where Team USA landed. And look, like I said, I don't know who else could be there. I'm interested in some of the things he said today. The one thing I will say, as shocking as this is, and as disappointed as I am in the process, because, again, the only way you're going to get back to dominating this event, the only way you're going to get back to winning in Europe in this event, is if you have a good process in place. Calling up a guy 2.5 weeks before a press conference going, hey, Keeg, you want to, like, this is
surprise. This is, here's your shot.
This is like Major League when they call up Lou Brown to ask if he wants to manage the Cleveland Indians. Oh, I don't know. I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later. Like Keegan had no idea that this was even a possibility. They hadn't talked to him. He hadn't gone through any sort of interview process. And like to have in such an important thing, and he talked about it. The legacy of being a Ryder Cup captain and how exclusive that club is. Like, it's a tremendous honor. And to not have any process other than Seth Wan, Zach Johnson calling him up on a Sunday night or Monday night, whatever it was, to go, hey, Keegan, how about the keys to the Team USA car? What do you say? It just seems like a bad idea.
That's where I feel like we keep falling short for Team USA. Is we have so much talent, maybe too much talent. We can't get the camaraderie part.
I'm scared about the talents. That's a different thing, but I'm a little terrified of the talent right now.
Yeah, we got a long ways to go there, Gabe. But you know what's also funny about this? A couple of days ago, I saw on social media a Twitter picture of Team Europe out at the Scottish Open having dinner together. It's Luke Donald. It's Rory McIlroy. It's Shane Lowry, all their wives enjoying, having a big smile on their face. Man, they just got to be laughing at us. And I'm not laughing at Keegan. I think he could be a good captain.
Yes.
It's the process that I'm struggling with.
Yes, because the one thing about Keegan, and you mentioned this, and if you don't have an opportunity, I mean, it's a 47-minute long press conference, so I don't blame you if you're not going to go watch it. But it's very obvious, even though he only played in two of them, and even though it was 14 and 12 years ago, respectfully, he loves this event. He's one of us. He has a passion for Team USA. He has a passion for the Ryder Cup. And that's the one thing I am deciding to cling on to give me hope that this might actually work out, even though the process stinks, that you chose a guy, ultimately, that cares so much about this event, he is going to meticulously work his way through the next 14 months to make sure that he gets this thing right.
But it should not be lost that in that time, he's also trying to prove that he can play as well. And that's what makes it a unique situation, is that Keegan is motivated to be there as a player captain on points. And he's going to go through a full PGA Tour schedule because he wants to maximize his opportunity to get those points. He has something to prove on the golf course. He's a human being that has been told no in the past, and he still feels like he can compete with the best in the world. I would expect him to want to be on that Team USA roster at Bethpage Black as a player and as a captain. But that's also going to muddy the waters here, and that's what makes this an unprecedented situation that clearly the PGA of America is willing to risk what that might do to the rest of Team USA and the roster building and the camaraderie, whatever it may be. Keegan's out there to play and get himself on the roster just as much as he is excited to be the captain of Team USA.
More on Keegan Bradley, the new USA Ryder Cup team captain, as we continue here on the tee. We're presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips, and time is running out. You're not going to have much more time. We're shutting this bad boy down in a couple of weeks. So now is the time. If you've been thinking about it and you want to come with us to Scotland, sign up now. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. You can see the entire itinerary that Jason at Wisconsin Golf Trips has put together for us to play some of the best golf courses, not just in Scotland, but in the world. Stay at some first-class accommodations while we're over there in St. Andrews as well. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776, and you could be going to Scotland with us. You can take a look at the itinerary, even have a link to put in your down payment. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Still reacting to the news that Keegan Bradley is the newest captain of Team USA for the Ryder Cup, happening next year out in New York, Bethpage Black. Again, coming out of left field. He didn't even know. We didn't even know. There were no rumors because, well, they didn't know. Like, there were no whispers about this. And the more I think about it, I mean, I still probably wouldn't have arrived at Keegan Bradley.
Yeah. Clearly, they see something we don't at this point.
I think it's just a passion for the event, right?
And a desire to go younger and change up the norm of what we've seen for the last couple of Ryder Cup captains.
Well, so we talked about it last segment. It seemed like for a while this was supposed to be Phil Mickelson as the captain. He goes to live. He can't be captain. Okay, go to Tiger. Tiger doesn't want to do it. Who else do you think was even on this list? Who else do you think was a possibility? Who did you have going through your mind when you heard the rumors that maybe this isn't going to be Tiger's thing?
One name I keep coming back to that I can't believe has not been a Ryder Cup captain, because all I hear about is him being the most beloved guy in all of golf, is one of Tiger Woods' best friends.
Freddie.
Fred Couples. He's won all three of the President's Cup events that he was the captain for. He's been a vice captain. He was with Stricker at Whistling. I think he was in Rome, was he not?
Probably.
There was like 15 vice captains. I don't know. But I struggled to think about, like, why not Freddie? It's a guy who is so close. He plays practice rounds with half of Team USA at major championships that he still is exempt for to today. Like, I don't know why. If they truly felt like they needed to shake things up and go younger, that's the only thing I keep coming back to of why Freddie Couples has not gotten an opportunity to be captain. He seems like the perfect post-Stricker, good guy, beloved captain, because I don't think we're going to see Steve do it again after his health scare after Whistling Straits.
Yeah, so you either had to double up another captain. I don't think they're going back to Davis Love, who's been an assistant captain, vice captain, whatever you want to call him, for, I mean, it seems like forever. Obviously, they weren't going to give it to Zach again after that was a disaster. Furyk was a disaster overseas in Paris, so I don't think they were going to go back to him. Plus, Furyk is doing the President's Cup this year for Team USA up in Canada, so he's kind of busy and can't really focus on the Ryder Cup until he's done with his President's Cup thing this fall. So, I mean, yeah, the list to me would have probably been Freddie and then Stuart Sink. So Stuart Sink kind of checks off some of the past boxes they've had for major champ. You know, oh, you got, are you a major champion? I mean, Strick's the only one who isn't a major champion who's been a captain for Team USA. So he's got that box checked off of being a major champion. He's been an assistant captain before. He's had experience on Ryder Cups before. But clearly, I think there was something of wanting to get younger. And I don't know if they took the old boys club criticisms to heart from last year. And because we saw that end up falling, you know, Spieth didn't play well, JT didn't play well, they're obviously tight with Zach Johnson, they end up getting these picks, Keegan doesn't. So I wonder if they decided, hey, maybe we are an old boys club. We've been cycling through these same guys who have all been captains and assistant captains. It hasn't led to success necessarily in Europe. Maybe we do need to blow up this process. And Keegan talked about assistant captains being younger as well, being closer to playing than what the current crop of assistant captains have been as well.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's Ricky Fowler,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has to be. Like, Ricky's the name that I keep coming back to of your time is done. You're not competing at that level anymore. Is Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth going to be vice captains? Because they certainly don't look ready to play in a Ryder Cup right now.
Well, that's, again, that's, don't... When you start doing...
I'm being hyperbolic, but you know what I mean? Team USA is going through some things right now. And that's why I keep getting so frustrated about the process of this all, is it feels like the amount of talent that we have no camaraderie. And we're just throwing things at the wall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to shake things up before Bethpage, before the low-hanging fruit one that we just need to go and take. That's my problem with Keegan, is that it's now. I could see Keegan the next road one. But this one right now, you got to go take. And if they screw this up, man, oh man, how do you come back from that?
the risk
on this one is crazy.
High. It's high. And I don't know if the live thing just kind of blew some of the stuff up, because somebody, and I don't think he would ever be interested in it, but he just seems to be beloved by everyone on Team USA as well, and just kind of seems like he's done with his competitive playing days as Dustin Johnson.
Oh, you wonder, come on. You want a decision to come down to DJ?
Well, no, what I'm saying...
You don't mean that.
What I'm saying is, I don't know if he would have been on the short list or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, had he never gone to live... Would Dustin Johnson have been considered for this position? I'm just wondering that out loud.
What about a Justin Leonard? Somebody who's still around the game of golf doing commentary. You know,
hit one of the biggest putts in Ryder Cup history.
In 99 in the ugliest / best shirts of all time. That's a younger, right? I mean, he's still playing on the Champions Tour now. But
he's older than Zach Johnson.
Maybe I just still think I'm 15 and watching Justin Leonard play golf on the weekends. I don't know. It's a... Yeah, maybe they just don't. And I think the Fred Couples being so outspoken against Liv is maybe a reason why he is not a selection right now.
Because
I mean, publicly, he has always talked about his distaste for Liv and the players. And clearly, Liv guys are going to be on Team USA. That was one of the big takeaways today from Keegan, is that he doesn't care about what tour they play for. He's picking the 12 best guys.
Presumably, Brooks and Bryson would have a very good chance at making Team USA. Presumably.
Yeah, I can't see any other names hopping on that list.
Yeah, either do I. Anytime soon. And
maybe Taylor Gooch, though. I mean,
he's the best iron player in the world.
Yeah,
just ask Greg Norman.
Some asterisks in there for the term he doesn't play in.
I wonder if this is also kind of the byproduct of those bad Team USA teams from the late 2000s and early 2010s. Because when you go back and look at the 2008 U.S. Ryder Cup team, like that's kind of the era that would be a player that would be potentially, oh, they'd be ready to step up and be on this team, right? You want to hear some of those names? that were on Team USA?
I would love nothing more.
All right. So Phil Mickelson
was
on that team.
Phil played in 12, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he played a lot in a row. He was the one thing about Phil is he was consistently on these teams and earned his way on the majority of them. Stuart Sink, who we mentioned. Kenny Perry. Any interest there?
Zero.
Already had Jim Furyk. Anthony Kim, now on live, obviously disappeared. Justin Leonard, you mentioned him, but obviously not much. Ben Curtis. Boo Weekly.
Boo Weekly, what a name. Wow.
Chad Campbell. J.B. Holmes.
Wow.
Hunter Mahan.
Hunter Mahan I could get down with.
And then Strick was also on that team. Maybe like 2010. You want to hear some of the names on the 2010
team? Yeah, this was Keegan's debut on the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, let's
hear
just take some of the some of the contemporaries. So some names you'll recognize: Phil, Hunter Mahan, Bubba. No, not interested. Bubba.
Everybody hates Bubba. Sorry, that would not be good for hashtag camaraderie.
Furyk and Stricker. Already mentioned them. DJ, Jeff Overton. No.
I honestly forgot he was a professional golfer until you just said his name.
Y'all, you don't remember Boom Baby when he holed out?
No, I remember now. It's just not a name that would have come to mind.
Matt Kuchar, Zach Johnson, Tiger, Stu Sink, and Ricky Fowler.
We just have no fun personalities, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we're
take
pretty
a look
bland
at some
country.
Of those teams, and I just don't know who else. And that's what's making me hopeful that maybe by shaking it up with Keegan, it's going to work out. Look, I don't know who else he's going to take as assistant captains, as vice captains. I'm hoping that he takes some of these guys that have had success, whether it's Furyk, whether it's Stricker, whether it's Davis Love III. So, I mean, he's going to have somebody like that, because I look at this much like I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, and I know that's probably going to make you puke a little bit, but they go out and they hire J.J. Redick. He's got no experience in this thing, right? And the first thing that the Lakers did was hire two top assistants that have head coaching experience, vast head coaching experience, to help JJ through this. So I'm hoping somebody like Strick, somebody of that ilk, is going to be one of his lead assistants as somebody that can help escort him through the process. And the one thing that he said today, and I'm sure all the captains say this at some point, but he realizes his job is to make these guys as prepared as possible. And I would argue, maybe this is the homerism in me coming out, that Strick did that better than anybody else.
Yeah.
That Stricker did whatever he could to shield these guys, to protect these guys, to make sure that they were ready to play come that Friday that Friday morning for the first session of the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. And if you want to have someone like Steve Stricker there to help you with those things, I think that's only beneficial to Keegan.
Yeah, and I think just because of the amount of stress and what it took on to him, the toll that it took on him and his family after the fact, that's why Steve is not going to be a president or another captain of the Ryder Cup. But I think you're right. I think Steve will be a top assistant. I think because he was with Keegan, you know, as a player, right? Steve was on that 2010 team. Mm-hmm. They've played together. They're obviously very close. Steve, the thing about Steve Stricker that I don't think we talk about enough with his captaincy at Whistling Straits, there was a lot of drama for Team USA coming into that weekend. I just think alone,
Brooks and Bryson thing alone
was one thing. And, you know, there were the pressure of Team Europe coming in, them wearing the cheese heads and playing to the fans, and Steve just stuck to it.
And again, this is funny to say out loud, the controversial pick of Scottie Scheffler as the final captain's pick, which is wild to say now, 3 years later. But it was at the time. He hadn't won yet. And then he goes out there and obviously performs the way he did.
And Scotty, I'm sure, tells that to Strick all the time. The belief that he had in him probably catapulted his career faster than he could have done himself. Him going out and beating Rahm in singles is going to be a core memory from Whistling Straits hosting the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, I hope you're right. That when you made the comment earlier about him wanting to have younger vice captains around him, at some point you need leadership. It can't just be a frat. And that, I think Keegan wants to be a leader. I think he's going to do everything in his power. I just worry about the player, Keegan Bradley, getting in the way of the captain, Keegan Bradley, and the egos that will surround his decision making, not just Keegan's, but we're in an individual sport with a lot of guys who feel like they've proven themselves. And we've got a long ways to go before that roster is going to be built. But no doubt, there will be egos, and there will be people who believe that they are better than that person. And I'm curious to see how Keegan handles that situation alongside his own situation.
The one thing I think I've learned from hearing every Ryder Cup captain, whether it's European or American, is that more goes into this than you think on the outside. Like, on the outside, you're like, I mean, how tough is this? You just show up, you play golf for 3 days, and no, there's a lot more that goes into it, and it takes up so much of your time. And if Keegan, that is, again, a thing that would worry me, is if Keegan is that consumed in his own game, which, go for it, man. Right now, you're a top 20 player in the OWGR. Whether you believe the OWGR means anything anymore or not, he's still a top 20 player. And he has a very good chance at making this Ryder Cup team because he's been that good over the last kind of a career resurgence where we saw that from Ricky, and Ricky's fallen off now this year. Keegan still, he hasn't won yet this year, but he's still putting up some solid numbers.
Yeah, you go on a heater and you're in it.
Oh, all you have to do is win a major and you're in. I understand. Winning a all you have to do is win a major is, that's very difficult to do. But given how much the weight majors are weighed next year, you win one of those four majors, you're going to be playing on your team if you're European or if you're American. If he goes out there and wins a PGA, which is, it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but it's certainly possible. He's going to play his way onto this team. And I just worry about him being splitting his time and his focus between being a player and trying to get the very last bit out of his career, which I don't blame him for, by the way, because the money is as crazy as it's ever been right now on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So trying to squeeze every last bit out of your talent in this era of golf is completely understandable.
And a lot can change in this game of golf by the time we get to the next Ryder Cup with a merger, whatever it may be. Like that's the part of this that is really the elephant in the room, is how different is golf going to look in that decision-making process come next Ryder Cup?
I'm predicting that it looks nothing different. I think we're going to still be a very divided golf world because it doesn't seem like we're anywhere near coming together.
One other thing, maybe this is the Philly in me coming out. He's got to pick a side. He's either a Boston guy or he's a New York guy.
A Boston guy. He's a New England guy.
Flip-flopping between. You heard his press conference. He talked about his glowing remarks for his love for New York and New York City. Come on, man. If you're a true New Englander who loves your Red Sox and Patriots, you don't say anything nice about New York. I think he's trying to do a little flip-flop politician type stuff right now from Keegan.
Man,
he's a St. John's guy. Trust me, I get it.
Which is disappointing because, I mean, the hero's welcome he got at the country club a couple years ago up there in Boston.
That's why I'm just saying, man, those New York fans, they'll turn on you quickly.
Look, I am rooting for Keegan. I hope this ends up working out.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about the process in which we got here. We're excited next week. We are going to be live at the Bog, part of the ESPN Milwaukee Open, and we're going to be out there. You can be out there as well, just not next Tuesday. But book your tee time, golfthebog.com. Very unique piece of property here in the state of Wisconsin. Beautiful 18 holes designed by Arnold Palmer. Again, book your tee time today at golfthebog.com. I'm sure we'll have more thoughts on Keegan Bradley as we continue in the 14, 15 months we have before the next Ryder Cup in 2025. We'll certainly be talking about the President's Cup, and I am terrified for that because Team USA looks not very good. Which, again, is not another, precursor to what 2025 could look like in the Ryder Cup. But I digress. We had a lot of fun last Wednesday before the fourth holiday. Stephen and I had the opportunity to play a ton of golf together. We had the idea of caddying for each other on a previous show, so we decided to pay that off. Make sure you stay tuned to the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page where an entire video is going to be released. But I caddied for you on the front nine. And we thought we'd react to it a little bit right now here on the tee since we teased it last week. And I will say this. Neither of us played as well as we would have liked to.
Yeah, we're probably not a captain's pick right now on Team USA Keegan Bradley.
Dear Lord, no. But, it's just kind of the way the game of golf goes. And playing golf on camera is a little tough. But I thought the front nine, despite opening with a seven.
Oh, okay. So you're going to lead with that? Yeah,
yeah.
That's fair. Okay.
Despite you opening with a seven.
Yeah.
You know,
I sure
we
did on the easiest hole of the course. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we rallied back. I think we fought back.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, you've never played golf on a camera, like, you know, different type of nerves. But I was actually excited to play golf on camera. I don't think that fazed me. What fazed me right out of the gates, Gabe, was I made a promise to myself going into that round that I was going to find the range before we played. And again, I came in hot.
Multiple times you told me about the range session you were going to be grinding
I was
out
gonna
before
be,
I showed up.
Nope, and then it was just show and go, Steven.
You barely beat me to the course. Our tee time was noon. I was on the air in downtown until 11 a.m.
Don't have kids, Gabe. That's what I tell you. Don't have kids. Right when you have a plan, plans change.
Yeah.
I love my kids. But yeah, I didn't get there as early as I had intended to get there. And so I came cold on the first tee. And what did I do on the first tee?
Well, so we can get to that because that's the one decision I wish I would have pushed harder on because the round didn't go the way we wanted. But I think we ended really strong.
Yeah. No, I think so. On the whole, I shot, I don't even remember, I think I shot 5 over, 6 over?
Something like that, yeah.
Finished with 3 pars, and that was good caddying by you to break the process down. Once we were through 6, you said, let's finish the last 3 even. That gave me something to work through. That was important, good caddying there. We didn't have a whole lot of, like, drama as teammates.
And I wasn't expecting drama or fireworks between the two of us.
But I was proud of myself for battling back when I didn't have it. That was kind of my takeaway from playing the front nine. A lot of the golf I've been playing lately have been bad fronts, great backs.
Okay.
And it was feeling like that kind of day again. If I had 9 more holes in me, I felt really confident about where we got to by the end of 9 holes. But starting with a triple bogey definitely rattled the soul a little bit.
But I think that we had really good things happen on the 2 par 5s. So
yeah.
The 2 par 5s, you ended up making the first time. You made 5 pars total. We mentioned the 3 in a row. And the 2 par 5s, we had to get up and down.
Yeah.
Weren't in great spots. You hit one miracle shot after completely duffing a punch out.
Yeah, I hope video team got that shot. Throw a shot tracer on that. Maybe the best escape shot I've ever hit in my life.
So the one thing that you said you were struggling with heading in were these little kind of chippy wedge shots where, you know, we hit a couple of good ones. I gave you a good thought, and we were able to get up and down a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I get steep. And you were reminding me to just take the club back a little lower, longer, and it just helped my impact and kind of felt like I hit a good bump and run. Not a great one, but one that just got me on and gave me a shot because that shot has cost me a lot of strokes this golf season. And you coached me through it on number 5. I hit a bump and run, and then we made a big, like, 6 to 10 foot comebacker for par that I felt like that was the turning point. And then I think I made a bogey on 6.
Well, I mean, we 3-putted 4, you know, got a little aggressive coming down the hill there.
Yeah.
6 wasn't great. But again, we bounced back. But I kind of blame myself. Because I think if we would have gotten off to a better start on 1, we could have rode that momentum. And I should have fought harder for you hitting driver on number 1. Because you have a new weapon in your bag. And I don't know if this is because you're going through the honeymoon phase with it, but you declared and told me on the first tee that your 2-iron, your driving iron, is your favorite club in the bag. And the problem with that is when you're coming in hot the way you were,
you better hit center face.
You're hitting a long iron, even if it's, you know, a little bit of a thicker driving iron, you got a little bit more forgiveness. Like, you're asking a lot of yourself on that first tee. And I just thought, okay, hey, first one, let's maybe get something big behind this, get a nice big club face behind it. And, you know, no, this is my favorite. This is my favorite club in the bag. And that's, okay, I'll back off the driver here.
Yeah.
And then we flared it right and just weren't able to back
I appreciate you saying we, like we're Spieth and Griller. that was totally on me. I let ego get in the way. The excitement of showing you the 2-iron, the excitement of showing the world on YouTube this brand new 2-iron that I got, and I flared it right. and behind a tree, had to punch out, chunk the punch. Next punch, front bunker. I've been in that bunker many times. Easy flop. I never do this. And maybe this one was like just a mental mistake right out of the gates, but I just hosled and flew a sand wedge 70 yards. I don't even know. It was
at least, yeah.
And then I hit a great flop back
flop
onto the green.
Oh, the flop back was fantastic. The flop back was unbelievable.
I was like, all right, let's just escape with a six. What a wild thought. And I just lipped out the putt. And, yeah, seven hurt the core. But it comes down to I should have listened to you. I should have gone with the club that would allow me to miss less. And it's all right. It's a growing experience for us, Gabe. Outside of that opening hole, look, I think we had a solid nine together.
Maybe I'm not the best caddy, but you know where you can find the best caddies? That's at Erin Hills. They have the best. I mean, you're going to have a tremendous experience like we did when we were out there earlier this year. I love the caddies that they have at Erin Hills. So book your tee time. ErinHills.com, one of the top 10 public golf courses in the country. ErinHills.com. Wrapping up things here on the tee, we just went through Steven's nine holes, and now my nine holes, which were, it's going to be embarrassing whenever this video comes out for me, because it was a rough nine holes for me on the back nine out at the Wisconsin Country Club when you were my caddy.
Yeah, Gabe, you didn't have it. I don't know how else to say it. I lost a number of positive adjectives I could potentially throw in your face, but it was those days happen, and we tried to work through it. There were some glimmer of hope shots in there, but you hurt yourself off the tee, and
which honestly has not been an issue this year.
Yeah,
like after getting properly fit for a driver last year, that has been a big time strength. What I'm concerned about is, and I don't know if it's just kind of slowly drifting back, but it started with. The bunker shot that you hit is very familiar to me, hitting the bladed bunker shot and having it fly over the green, and then that started to creep into my wedge game, and then my and like now I'm just like lost, man. Like I don't know what's going on, and it is terrifying. Like there's nothing you could have done. I am in the wilderness right now, and it is terrifying. Yeah, it is lonely out there.
Yeah, it's not a fun place. I mean, had maybe still have the chipping yips myself, so it's a lonely place to be when you're so close to the pin yet you feel so far away. But I always thought like my strategy for you was to kind of mix up your shot off the tee, and by the third hole I was like, just take driver and hit it as far as you can, because I know you just need to get something out right now.
Yeah,
and we just couldn't find it together.
No, and I just feel bad. I want to give you another opportunity because I gave you nothing to work with. There were zero things I gave you to work with.
I would like to redo the first hole. So maybe we got to run this back and say that was our practice round.
Right? Yeah. Hey, just throw away that footage.
We'll keep the caddy bibs. It's all right.
That was fun. We both had caddy bib. I did make a special caddy bib that I wore while I was caddying your nine holes.
Without knowing it, this is how cute we are. We prepared caddy bibs for each other.
Yes.
And Gabe gets there. I was like, oh, can you grab something from my bag? And it's a caddy bib that I had surprised him with. And before he even went down to my bag, he took a sweatshirt off and he's wearing his own caddy bib. So we leaned into it hard.
I did, because if you're going to do it, you know, you want to do it. But it's... I think, again, hopefully when the video comes out, I hope the big lesson, because you almost have to caddy for yourself. If you're playing by yourself, I have found that I try to talk, I mean, not necessarily out loud, but more in my head, try to talk through shots a little bit more. That's the one thing I've learned, whether it's playing at Erin Hills or Whistling Straits, wherever you have a real caddy, kind of talking through those things has helped me. So I try to do that a little bit more. But also, I think what we did as the exercise for you, look, you didn't have it, and there were flashes in there because you're good enough where you got up and down a couple of times, but through the first six holes, you hit one green.
Yeah.
And so, which is a sign that, you, especially for you, okay, you don't necessarily have it, all right, let's just try to refocus. Those six holes are done. We've got three holes left on this front side. Let's refocus. Give yourself a goal. However good of a golfer you are, if you're a bogey golfer, hey, we just want to be three over here. We want to be, you know, kind of assign par for yourself for those final handful of holes and try to find a way to hard reset.
And that was a good just strategy for you in general, like that you gave me. Usually I try to do the Ted Lasso goldfish method of like, all right, I just made a seven. Let's wipe it, right? Like I knew that I wasn't going to stop playing golf on camera. So do I want to be a little baby about it, or do you want to refocus and try and make a memory? And that was really how I tried to bounce back after the opening hole seven. But usually I think next hole. You got me to make a goal through the final three holes, and that actually really helped me in a way that I never really thought about. So when I'm out golfing myself, or I'm playing a match, or I'm playing a match with somebody, and I'm trying to control my own process, like think of it as, let's play the next three under par. Let's play the next three one over.
Because
whatever it fits your game and what's realistic for you, knowing what type of golfer you are and what type of clubs you have in your bag, you can make a realistic goal that's not too hard to achieve.
And I understand the thought process of wanting to stay shot to shot, but especially because you just made a lot of mistakes through the first six holes. So the thought process for me behind, hey, these next three, let's play it even par. Okay, let's say you made a mistake on seven and you would have made a bogey. Well, you can still accomplish the overall goal if you make it. Like, it's still out there versus taking it hole by hole.
Still feeling like you're getting further off the tracks.
Correct.
By making another bogey.
Correct. Yeah. So it just kind of gives you a way, I think, to refocus a little bit. So
no,
maybe
like that.
Try that out. Yeah, maybe try that out next time you're playing. Maybe I need to try that out personally. I don't know what the hell's going on.
You just might need a drink. I think that's maybe our solution for you moving forward.
Who knows?
I'm just going to hand you a drink at the turn and say, let's do this.
Just need to get blackout before we tee off next time. But we'll be live at the Bog for the ESPN Milwaukee Open next Tuesday. This is Ben on the tee.